The message of reconciliation is a Christmas message. It is appropriate at this time of year as we are anticipating the commemoration of the birth of Christ consciousness, embodied in the birth, childhood, and life of Jesus of Nazareth. Our message indeed this morning is one of balance. Have you ever felt as though you really wanted something, some event, someone to be in your life? And yet there was that nagging thought that something about it is just not adding up. Or have you ever thought that despite the plan you are on, the life that you have, your heart is just not in it? In each of these scenarios, we are out of balance. Balance is restored only through reconciliation. Jesus' whole message was of love, peace, and reconciliation. Reconciliation where? Well, within. He preached the good news that your spirit was what was in charge, not your body, not appearances, not material things that you could see, do, or have. And when writing about the experience of oneness through the message of Jesus, Matthew frequently turned to the Hebrew scriptures for some understanding. For an example, biblical scholar Henry Halley points out this passage from Isaiah. "Hear now, you house of David. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Halley comments on this that this seems to say that someone who will be called Emmanuel will be born in David's family of a virgin. This evidently refers to the same person as the branch of 4:2 and 11:1 in Isaiah and the wonderful child referenced in Isaiah 9:6. The deity of the child is implied in the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Thus, the virgin birth and the deity of the Messiah are quoted in Matthew as referring to Jesus. We too can look to the Hebrew scriptures and the prophets, for to understand the message of Jesus, you must understand his words and thoughts through the lens of the day. And in those days, the tribes of the Hebrew people were living in two separate and competing areas. We had the tribes of Jacob to the north and the tribes of Judah to the south. At the time of the writings of the prophet Isaiah, the kingdoms were divided, and the people, particularly the prophets, were looking for, even beseeching, a reconciler to come and resolve the differences that had grown and developed. This time of the reconciliation has come to be known as the end of times, or eschatological thinking. Eschatology is hyper-focused on death, judgment, and final destiny of the soul and of humankind. The idea being that we cannot continue to live this way, divided, and that we are in hope of receiving a reconciling influence from God that will unite us back under one home. This, of course, got complicated by the fact that the homeland at the times of the writing Isaiah was constantly being occupied. In the times of Jesus, it was occupied by the Roman Empire, so that adding to the detachment was also getting rid of the foreign rulers. Jesus, being the embodiment of Christ consciousness, comes along and realizes that this sense of separation just won't do. And while the people were anticipating a geographical or political reunification of the two tribes, as well as an ejection of the Roman Empire, well, they were disappointed. But what we got instead was so much more. The message was world negating, or as scholar John Dominic Crossan puts it, ethical eschatology. In Crossan's book, The Birth of Christianity, he writes about the life of Albert Schweitzer. Schweitzer wrote a book called The Quest for the Historical Jesus. Crossan quoted Schweitzer as saying, "Soon after comes Jesus, and in the knowledge that he is coming, the coming Son of Man, he lays hold of the wheel of the world to set it moving on that last revolution, which was intended to bring all ordinary history to a close. The wheel, however, refused to turn, and he, Jesus, threw himself upon it. Then it did turn, and it crushed him. Instead of bringing on the eschatological conditions, though, he has destroyed them. The wheel rolls onward, and the mangled body of the one immeasurably great man who was strong enough to think of himself as the spiritual ruler of mankind and able to bend history to its purpose, there he is found hanging upon the wheel still. That is his victory, and that is his reign." Schweitzer had been educated as a doctor in the era of World War I Germany. Schweitzer eventually abandoned his profession and his life and went to Africa, not as a missionary, but merely to live and treat among the poor. Crossan writes that world negation demanded of Schweitzer a very precise response. When his friends asked why he had not chosen to be a missionary in Africa or a doctor in Europe, in other words, why specifically a doctor in Africa, he explained that it was all very personal and individual. It was not political, it was not social. Nevertheless, it had at base to do with ethics and injustice, with the intuition that human inequality cannot simply be ignored or accepted. Later in that same chapter of Crossan's book, The Birth of Christianity, he writes the following. When referring to Mahatma Gandhi, Dorothy Day, the Catholic social worker, and Martin Luther King Jr., "If enough people lived like they did, lived in nonviolent protests against systemic evil, against the normalcies of this world's discrimination, exploitation, and oppression, the result would be a new world we could hardly imagine. That is an eschatology that is possibly the only real type available to us." You see, both Schweitzer and Crossan depict Jesus as embodying Christ consciousness and negating worldviews. Did not Jesus say, "Not of this world I give you my peace"? Did not Jesus also comment about how the values of this world were not to be considered when living, breathing, and interacting? Jesus was all about doing things that were not of this world, but rather in keeping with the spirit of the Father or God within. Is this not the very reconciliation that we are all looking for? How do we reconcile going to our jobs each day and focusing on our material needs with the truth of who and what we are spiritually? Unless we follow the teachings and ways of Jesus, which is to negate this world, we cannot have the reconciliation we so long for. The reconciliation, from a geopolitical sense, did not happen for the tribes of Israel until the state was formed in 1948, almost 2,000 years after the events written about in the four Gospels. Therefore, to say that Jesus' message was imminent in the year 30 AD would be not only a mischaracterization, but more, it would be a misunderstanding of the message. The message of Christ consciousness in this scenario, when we are speaking in terms of reconciliation with worldviews, is in direct contrast with spiritual values, is the only real lasting meaning for eschatology. and that would be the ethical eschatology that Crossan writes about. We are called upon each day to effectuate this reconciliation between our hearts and our minds, between our hearts that recognizes the injustice, the inequality, and the poverty, and our minds that allows us to do something about it, at least for ourselves, but knowing that we haven't done enough for everybody else. How do we reconcile our thoughts and our feelings? How do we learn to come to produce a series of actions that are unified so that we can live with spiritual integrity? The only way to accomplish that is to recognize that we must live, move, and have our being in spirit. We must recognize that anything to the contrary of that puts us in a situation where we find ourselves not living with integrity and not being in balance. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. All nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and he will settle the disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. We know Jesus' statement, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." The kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, required reconciliation, but they are merely placeholders, symbols for us, if you will. They are symbols for our eternal thoughts and internal feelings that scream at us when we must reconcile and begin to live from spirit, denying or rejecting this world. That is the message of reconciliation. That is the message that comes with the birth of Christ consciousness from the growth of the remnant within. Shall we take a few moments now to make this lesson practical? Let's close our eyes, sit up straight, and take in several cleansing breaths, releasing each breath before we take the next. Let's focus only on the breath. The Lord your God will raise you up, will raise yourself up within you. Even if the kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against you, the Lord sets you up as his anointed one. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. We are his sons and daughters. The nations are our inheritance. Blessed are we who take this knowledge as our refuge. You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. We are anointed with the oil of joy. Our throne, O God, will last forever and ever. In your majesty, we shall ride forth victoriously. We will perpetuate this memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. We will establish your line and make your throne firm through all generations. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within now and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and for my his. Praise him.
Go in peace, focus on balance, and have a blessed week.